Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Texas Showdown by Barb Hahn. Narrated by Rebecca Mitchell. Cast of characters. Maria Belasco. This FBI agent took a hit that scrambled her brain. Will she remember who put her in the hospital before he comes back to put her in the morgue? Austin O'Brien. The second oldest O'Brien's nickname is Ivy League. All the logic in the world can't seem to bring him to sign the divorce papers sitting on his desk. But can he risk his heart a second time around when Maria's life is on the line? Tommy Johnson, the sheriff who grew up at the O'Brien ranch and considers them family. Special Agent Mitch DiCarlo. How far will he go to win Maria back? Maintenance man Dave. Was he careless with his keys, or does he know more than he's letting on? Garrett Halpern. How much does this ex-cop know? Tyson Greer. How involved is this neighbor? Special Agent Cliff Ford. Could he be involved, or is he on the up and up? Special Agent Wheeler. He's taken over Maria's caseload. Is he missing something that can crack her case wide open? Ansel Sanders. How far will this suspect go to silence Maria? Aunt B. Has she been hiding information about the deaths of her brother and sister-in-law? Uncle Ezra. Does he know more about the deaths of his brother and sister-in-law than he's letting on? Chapter 1.
You didn't have to take a bullet to get me to stop by and see you, Austin O'Brien teased Sheriff Tommy Johnson as he entered room 119 at Bluff. General Hospital. Tommy was more like family and had grown up on the ranch alongside all six O'Brien sons. At 6 feet tall, with light brown hair and eyes that matched, he looked like he could be an O'Brien.
If I'd have known that's all it would take, I'd have done it years ago, Tommy retorted.
He'd been shot in the line of duty a few days ago, a 2-hour surgery later to remove a bullet fragment from a rib, and he'd been recovering nicely. At least his sense of humor was returning. That was a good sign. The first day, he'd been too full of morphine to crack a smile, and no one had felt like joking. Between Austin and his five brothers, one of the O'Briens had been at Tommy's bedside since the incident. They'd been taking turns stopping by, making sure he had everything he could ever want.
I figured you'd be tired of trying to choke down hospital food by now.
Austin opened the container of homemade spaghetti, set it on the tray table next to the bed, and positioned the stand where Tommy could access it.
Just don't rat me out to the nurses.
Janice made this? Tommy asked with a smile. She'd been employed at the ranch for more years than Austin cared to count. So much so, she was more family than employee, and the boys had voted to give her shares of the family ranch and Cattleman's Crime Club now that they'd inherited the place.
You know it, Austin said,
taking a step back and crossing his arms as Tommy picked up the fork and dug in.
I forgot how good a cook she is, he said after swallowing the first bite. Stop by for Sunday supper any time, or any other night of the week for that matter.
Austin took off his white Stetson and set his hat on the foot of the bed. Tommy already knew about Sunday meals being a big deal, and they'd become even more important recently. Each of Austin's brothers could have died at different points in the past 9 months. As a result, Austin found he had a new appreciation for life and family. It was most likely the baby boom at the ranch that had him feeling soft, or the fact that he couldn't put to rest his feelings for Maria O'Brien, soon to be Belasco again, that made him resolve to talk to her and see if they could give their marriage another chance. He missed her, and he was still scratching his head over what had happened to make her walk out. Sure, they'd been through a rough patch, but wasn't that true of every relationship? He and Maria had never really had a big fight, a final blow to know they were both throwing in the towel. And then divorce papers had arrived a couple of weeks ago. With everything going on at the ranch, he'd been too busy to look them over.
How are you really feeling? Austin asked Tommy. About as good as you look, So like a cow that just spent 20 hours in labor? Tommy teased. That good, huh? Well, some people just take a vacation when they want to lay in bed and watch TV for a few days, instead of taking a bullet and rolling in via ambulance here at the Bluff Resort and Spa. Austin waved his arm in the air. What time does the massage therapist come? She'll be here any minute, so don't get too comfortable. And, by the way, she has the hands of a goddess, Tommy fired back with a chuckle in between bites, keeping the joke alive. It was good to see him awake and alert, rather than over-medicated with tubes sticking out of him. None of the brothers, Austin included, could shake a similar image of their parents from 9 months ago in this very hospital where they'd died. A later autopsy revealed they'd been poisoned, and Tommy didn't seem any closer to an arrest. Found this last night and thought of you. Austin fished in the pocket of his shirt for the plastic badge he'd worn when they were kids. He pulled it out and tossed it onto the tray table. Wow, how old is this? Tommy picked up the child's toy and spun it through his fingers. Austin shrugged. What age were we when we decided to become sheriffs? Couldn't have been more than 9 years old, right? It was long before either one of us had hair on our chest, that's for sure, Austin said with a laugh. He couldn't imagine being anything other than a cattle rancher, although his childhood had been filled with the usual cop, fireman, and Batman fantasies. Where on earth did you find this? Tommy held the badge flat on his palm. Been in the top drawer of my desk, Austin said with a shrug. You never could throw anything away. Tommy examined the toy. Good thing you went up north to that fancy school instead of law enforcement. I'm pretty sure your accounting skills are needed at the ranch more than your rifle acumen. Going to a school in the Northeast had netted Austin the nickname Ivy League. Between you and Joshua, I figured the family was well represented in the badge-toting department, Austin said, referring to his brother who had left the ranch and moved to Denver to pursue a career in law enforcement. He returned over Christmas to take his rightful place alongside his brothers and had the toughest time adjusting. Austin's cell buzzed. He fished it out of his jeans pocket and checked the screen. The text from his oldest brother, Dallas, read, Another calf is sick. Putting her in the pen. Everything okay? Tommy asked, his gaze fixed on Austin's phone cover. Fine. Got some kind of sickness moving through the new stock. Half a dozen calves are isolated and under quarantine. Vet can't figure out what's going on, and we're taking a wait-and-see approach for now. Hoping it doesn't get any worse, Austin stated. Tommy didn't look away from the honeymoon picture of Austin and his wife that she'd had made into a phone cover. Soon to be ex-wife, an annoying little voice in the back of his mind corrected. The look on Tommy's face sent 1,000 fire ants crawling up Austin's spine. What is it? He asked. Tommy took a minute to speak, and when he did, he fixed his gaze on a spot on the wall behind Austin. More reasons to be worried. Hey, Ivy League, do you remember Deputy Gerritsen? Tommy finally asked. Yeah, sure. Why? Gerritsen was a year ahead of Austin in school, so Dallas knew him better. Austin was the second oldest O'Brien. The former deputy had moved to the capital a couple of years back, craving more day-to-day excitement than Bluff, Texas had to offer. He should have stuck around, Austin thought, because there'd been more than enough activity in the past year to keep him busy. He stopped by to see me yesterday, Tommy said, and then paused. Everything okay with him? Austin asked. He's fine, Tommy said quickly. He's a detective now at Austin PD. Hangs out with his FBI liaison after work sometimes. Both are big Cowboys fans, so they catch games together. Grab a few beers. Tommy was normally a straight-to-the-point guy. That he felt the need to dance around a topic didn't sit well with Austin. There was also a reference to the FBI, which was Maria's employer. What does this have to do with me? Austin asked outright. Also a straight shooter. This guy, Special Agent DiCarlo, who Gerritsen buddies around with, is planning his wedding. Tommy's gaze bounced from the phone to Austin. He hesitated again before he spoke, but he didn't need to say the words. Austin already knew what Tommy was about to say.
He's planning to marry Maria.
Denali, the family's chocolate lab, had been working alongside Austin for the better part of the night. Now, the 100-pound dog lay next to Austin's boots, panting and whimpering in his sleep. Austin would give a nickel to find out what went on in that dog's brain. Never mind, he thought wryly. Denali probably thought about food, treats, and getting his ears scratched. Austin pushed back from his desk and rubbed blurry eyes, thinking a few hours of shut-eye was a good idea, considering how punchy he was getting. Between a record number of calves being born this winter and a bout of some kind of sickness causing him to quarantine half a dozen of them now, Austin had been working overtime for months. After learning his parents' deaths were being investigated as murders, he wasn't sleeping either. The news about Maria he'd received from Tommy earlier had been as unexpected as a sucker punch in broad daylight. His brain refused to process it, like it somehow wouldn't exist if he kept it at arm's length. So far, the only emotion he could strongly identify when he allowed it to surface was anger. Adding to his sour mood was the fact that there was constant wedding, baby, adoption planning going on at the ranch. All five of his brothers had newborns, newly adopted children, and/or wedding plans in the works. He didn't begrudge his brothers their happiness. In fact, he was over the moon for them, and each was the happiest he'd ever seen. They'd found true love, fought for it, and had earned the reward of real partners in life. And that was great. Personally, he was on the opposite end of the spectrum as divorce papers stared at him from the corner pile of paperwork on his desk, and his wife made wedding plans with another man. The papers had been sitting there for a while now. Austin had lost track of how many days. A dozen? More? The thought of signing them had proved harder than he'd expected, so he kept putting off the task. He should probably be glad to end that chapter of his life and move on. Good riddance and all. Maria had made her decision clear, and he wasn't one to stand in her way. That familiar mix of anger and heartache cut through his chest as he made a move to pick up the legal document. He stopped mid-reach. He'd been staring at the laptop so long that his eyes were practically crossed, and every letter on the screen was a haze. Numbers ran together like highway signs at 100 miles an hour. A blurry streak. His brain was toast. He wanted to be in the right mindset before looking over those papers and make sure he had time to read the fine print. On second thought, a signature could wait. A few more days wouldn't make a difference in either of their lives. The annoying voice in the back of his mind said that wasn't exactly true for Maria. Austin shoved the thought aside. The clock read 11:30. He'd be up again at 4:30 sharp, an unholy hour for a natural night owl like him. He needed a hot shower and a firm mattress. The news from Tommy about Maria had knocked Austin off balance, and all he needed was a little rest to get his emotions in check. That little piece of him that had said it wasn't over between them yet, that they still had a chance as long as they were still married, had been shattered all to hell. It wasn't Tommy's fault. He was trying to protect Austin from finding out through a different source. O'Briens were news. The story would be out soon enough. Anything to do with his family made headlines. Austin picked up his cell that had been sitting on top of his desk and looked at the picture on his phone cover. He and Maria had been so happy, or so he'd believed. How could any of it have been real if she was willing to throw it away so easily? And for what? Because the pregnancy didn't work out? Yes, it had been a difficult time for both of them. He'd retreated into himself and had shut down. He could be honest and admit that now. Maria had started spending longer hours on her caseload at the FBI. Then, a few weeks later, when the doctor had cleared them to try again, she'd said that she reconsidered the timing of having children. The timing was right for her to go for the promotion into the Crimes Against Children program, saying it had been the job she'd always wanted. News to him, he'd thought. She'd pointed out that they were still young and had plenty of time to start their family. In hindsight,
he should have picked up on the oversell.
Austin had figured that she was saying she needed a little more time to get over what had happened, so he gave her what she'd asked for, what he'd believed she needed, time and space. Neither had worked out so well. It had become easier to stay apart than to face each other and try to build a bridge to cover the space between them. He'd started spending more time in the barn and on the range. The divide between them became a cavern until she'd rented a loft apartment in the capital to be closer to work, and then stopped coming home altogether. A dull ache pounded Austin's temples, as if a dozen hammers were a marching band in his ears. Sleep. He needed a few hours of shut-eye before the day started over again. He'd been working so much lately that days and nights ran together, and he lost track of the calendar. He'd rest come July, when he got the healthy calves sold at auction. Right now, the sick said to Denali, who'd stopped whining and was settled into a pattern of steady breathing. The lab didn't so much as hike an ear at the sound of Austin's voice. A good cattle dog was worth three men. Denali did his own thing, which generally meant sleeping a lot. But he was good company, and he'd been in the family 14 years.
"Okay, old man," Austin said, figuring he could keep the door to his office open so Denali could come and go as he pleased when he woke, like usual. The dog liked to roam around, stopping in to visit who he wanted each day. Austin maintained his workplace in the horse barn to be closer to the men. His father had occupied the big office next door. Austin stepped in front of Dad's office. The room was dark and empty now. Since the murders, no one had claimed the big office as theirs, as though everyone realized there'd be no filling the boots of their father. Austin took in a sharp breath.
"You stay here and rest," Austin said to the snoring lab, thinking that he sorely needed to get out and socialize again in the summer since he'd taken to talking to the family dog more than people. Of course, most sane people didn't wake up before the sun.
Austin hopped onto the bench seat of the golf cart and headed east toward his home. The place had been constructed almost a decade ago. His had been the first built on the ranch, because he'd always known he'd come back to work the land he loved after college. Yeah, Tommy was right. Austin had gone to a fancy school, and he needed every bit of his Ivy League education to carry the ranch into the next generation and beyond. Winding down the path beside the flowing water of Bull Creek, Austin noticed how the water flowed through the land, always moving. He stopped the cart next to the creek, stepped out, and listened to the rush of water. His thoughts drifted back to Maria. Smart, beautiful, focused. She'd been everything he'd ever wanted in a relationship, and so much more. That first year, they'd stayed up long past a reasonable time every night talking. His mornings might have dragged the next day. But he'd do it all over again the next, because he wanted to be with her that much. Her good looks had attracted him. She was a classic, brown-haired, brown-eyed beauty. But it was her intelligence that rocketed his attraction to a whole new dimension. And the sex. He didn't even want to go there about how mind-blowing that had been. No doubt a product of the intensity of the emotions they felt for each other. Austin stood over the water, watching it flow. He shook his head, wondering how he could have let their relationship slip through his fingers. Back inside the cart, he let the word he'd been avoiding circulate through his thoughts. Divorce. It sat heavy on his chest as he stood in front of the locked door of his traditional ranch-style home, remembering that he'd left the key back at his office on top of the divorce papers.
Chapter 2.
Still half asleep, Austin groaned at the noise waking him. The music needed to stop. Instead, Johnny Cash's song Ring of Fire belted out louder. Austin was pretty sure his eyelids had been glued shut at some point in the night as he moved in slow motion. He forcibly blinked his eyes open, searching for the culprit. The clock on his nightstand said 2:40 in the morning, and he realized the annoying sound was his ringtone. He shot straight up. His first thought was that something had happened to Tommy,
so he scrambled to answer before the call rolled into the black abyss of voicemail where he couldn't ask important questions.
"Is this Austin O'Brien?" an unfamiliar female voice said.
"Yes, ma'am."
She identified herself as Maureen Velasquez from University Medical Center.
"We got your number from Maria O'Brien's emergency contact in her phone, and we need your consent to treat her."
"What happened? Oh, hold on. Can I give it to you over the phone?"
A next of kin call from University Medical Center's trauma unit asking for his permission to treat his wife was the last discussion Austin thought he'd have after being served divorce papers. Technically, she was still Maria O'Brien, but that would change back to Belasco as soon as he signed the documents on his desk. Apparently, another change was on the horizon for her soon after. That thought sat bitterly in Austin's gut. It was a lot like rusted metal lodged in there. Metallic taste and all.
"I'm afraid it has to be in writing," Maureen said sympathetically.
"Is she okay?"
he asked, trying to process being up after 3 hours of sleep, and then said,
"Never mind. You have my verbal consent, and I'll be right there to sign whatever document you need. My lawyer will call in the meantime."
"Thank you, sir," Maureen said. "I'll meet you at the ER entrance with the paperwork."
Austin ended the call and tore off the covers. He hopped into his jeans and threw on a shirt. He slipped into his boots and was out the door within minutes. The drive to the hospital was the longest of his life. He probably should have expected this call to come at some point, given the nature of her job, except that Maria was probably the most competent person he'd ever known, and he'd never given much thought to the danger in her line of work. Not until right then. And now, every possible worst-case scenario was running through his mind. He should have asked Maureen more questions when he had her on the line, but he didn't want to take the chance of delaying treatment. Other thoughts churned in his mind, thoughts that he couldn't afford now that Maria was divorcing him. Austin needed a strong black cup of coffee to clear his mind and reset those thoughts. He left his truck next to the ER ambulance bay, having parked on the side so emergency vehicles had plenty of room. A woman in slacks and a button-down shirt stood at the entrance with a clipboard tucked under her arm.
"Ms. Velasquez?" he asked,
and she nodded as she held out the clipboard.
"Sign here, Mr. O'Brien," she said, indicating a spot at the bottom of the page.
He scribbled his name as quickly as he could.
"And here."
She flipped up the document to reveal a page underneath as she nodded to a nurse who was standing at the intake desk on the phone. Austin assumed the nurse was relaying the fact that they had consent. The speed at which they handled everything sent a chill down his back. This couldn't be good.
"Your wife is being taken into surgery to stitch up the back of her head," Maureen stated, and her voice was calm, even.
"She's going to be all right, though, isn't she?"
Austin asked, not wanting to let his fears get the best of him.
"We have the best trauma doctors in the country, Mr. O'Brien. Your wife is in good hands," Maureen said, indicating a third place for his signature.
When he'd signed, he searched her face for any indication that she was placating him. She seemed sincere.
"I'll take you to a waiting area where you can find a decent cup of coffee," she said. "Someone will be out to talk to you the minute your wife is out of surgery."
"What happened?"
"She was alone, believed to be walking to her car when she took a blow to the head from behind," she said.
"How bad is it?"
he asked. "The doctor is with her now, and he'll be able to give you a full report."
She shot him an apologetic look.
"Where was she when this happened?"
"Outside of a place called Midnight Cowboy on 6th Street," she supplied. "An employee came out the back door, and the guy supposedly took off before she could get a good look at him."
Austin thanked her and followed her down the long, white hallway. She opened the door to a lounge, closed the door behind him, and it didn't take but another minute for him to get started on that first cup. There were a few people in the waiting area, scattered around, some in pairs. The thought that he might be in the same room with the man who planned to marry his wife was a bitter pill to swallow. Austin scanned each male face to see if he recognized any of the men or if any one of them seemed like someone Maria would date. There was one contender, a man in his mid-30s, fairly stocky for what had to be about a 5-foot, 10-inch frame. The guy was sitting off to the side by himself. He wore camo pants and a dark green t-shirt, fairly typical FBI field clothing. His elbows rested on his knees, and his right foot hadn't stopped fidgeting since Austin had stepped into the room. The man could be worried about Maria, or tense about meeting her husband, Austin thought wryly. He leaned against the wall, needing to stand for a few minutes while he sipped his coffee. Besides, the dark blue chairs lining the walls looked about as hard and itchy as sitting on a bale of hay. The haze in his brain started lifting, and he convinced himself that he'd stick around long enough to make sure Maria was in the clear and out of surgery. She may not even want him there. Camo pants might be the one getting the nod to see her when she woke. Anger filled his chest as he thought about how easy it seemed for her to be able to replace their relationship. For him, what they'd had was special. Apparently not so much for her. News that she was in recovery came 2 cups of coffee and a little more than an hour later. Austin took it as a good sign. Camo pants didn't make a move when the doctor stepped into the doorway and asked to speak to Austin O'Brien. Austin double-checked camo pants for a reaction when the doctor said Maria's name, too. He didn't get one. Good. Austin wasn't sure how he'd react if his replacement was sitting in the same room. It struck him as odd that her fiancé wouldn't be notified. But then, that was just paperwork. Austin followed the doctor into the hall so they could speak one-on-one. After hearing medical lingo for Maria was doing better than expected due to her strong physical condition, Austin asked how long she could expect to be in the hospital. Not long. Cognitively, she's doing far better than expected, the middle-aged doctor, who looked committed to a workout routine himself, said. He'd introduced himself as Dr. Burt and had a tired but competent look to his graying features. A blow to the head like the one she took can scramble things up. Her mind seems clear. She knew her name and the day of the week. She also knew the current president and vice president. Austin didn't know how to put this delicately, so he came straight out with it. We're going through a divorce, so I'm not sure if it's appropriate for me to stick around much longer. I'd like to know that she'll recover fully before I leave, though. Leave? The doctor's brow shot up. You were the first person she asked to see when she woke. She asked for her husband. Again, the delicate way to approach this seemed to take leave, so Austin asked point blank, Are you sure she's talking about me? You're Austin O'Brien, correct? Dr. Burt asked. I am. Then I'm absolutely talking about you, he said. And she didn't mention anything about sending me divorce papers or planning to marry someone else? No. A concerned crease dented the doctor's forehead. In fact, she seemed excited about heading back to the ranch with you. The ranch? Austin's reaction seemed to catch the doctor off guard. She doesn't live with you on your family ranch? He asked. Austin shook his head, and worry lines bracketed Dr. Burt's mouth. You said she took a blow to the head, Austin said, fearing that she might have taken a bigger hit than they realized. Dr. Burt nodded. Short-term memory loss can be an issue with a head injury. I'll set up a meeting with you and the nurse to check the accuracy of the information she provided. If she doesn't live with you, where does she live? She moved to an apartment in Austin more than a year ago, Austin said honestly. He didn't really want to get into the shortcomings of his relationship with his wife, but it sounded like information they needed to treat her properly. He could get through a few uncomfortable minutes if it would help. The doctor's frown deepened. Interesting. She didn't mention anything about it. He paused. I'll contact our trauma specialist for a consult. And if you don't mind, I'd like for you to be available for an interview as well. I'll do what I can to help, he said, unsure if he was the right person for the task. Dr. Burt deposited Austin in a small office and then left, saying he'd return soon. The doctor's words sent all of Austin's warning flags flying at high altitude. A few minutes passed before the door opened again, and a white-haired
sample complete. Ready to continue?